Peter James. He's the administrator at Great Expectations School. Good morning, Peter.
Good morning.
You and maybe others from GES met with ISD 166 school board. And how did that go?
I thought it went really well.
What did you talk about?
Well, for years now, as long as she's been here, Beth Schwartz and I, the superintendent from 166, have talked not only amongst ourselves but with the other charter school heads about how do the schools in the county collaborate? What can we do to be more effective in meeting the needs of all students? And there have been some progress, and there's been some progress, and there have been some things that have come out of that. But as we are hearing from the community, each of us separately, about why don't you do this, and how come we can't do that, and what makes sense, I think each of us felt that we needed more clarity and more specific direction from our respective boards as to what is the nature and extent and what are the goals of collaboration between the districts. How do we get a better sense of what excellence in education throughout the county looks like? How do all kids in the county have an opportunity for an excellent education? What can we do as individual and independent districts, but also working together? And I think that's really the goal of those conversations and then a working session. And what we were hoping for, not only the good conversation last night, but the board approved a motion to meet with the boards from the other districts to talk about what might that look like going forward and give some direction for them.
Remind me, I think you're using a couple of, GES is using a couple of things that ISD 166 is doing in terms of testing and some other
Correct.
Program.
This past year, with the passage of the referendum, ISD 166 was able to incorporate a new testing methodology. We've all done the MCA tests that the state requires. Something from Northwest Evaluation Association called the MAP, or the Measures of Academic Progress testing, is new to them, but it's something that we've done since our founding, and in Oshkogamak up in Grand Portage has done as well. It measures a broader range of academic achievement and identifies areas, perhaps more specifically, where you are or aren't meeting a student's needs. And so looking at how do we collaborate in using those tools? What are the things that we can all learn from one another? How do we make it more clear what our approaches need to be? And how do we help students transition?
Before I let you go, the governor requested, and the head of the Department of Education, Brenda Caselius, has now formally requested from the U.S. Department of Education sort of a holdback on No Child Left Behind. Apparently, we can do that now. Commissioner Arne Duncan said, okay, you can do that.
Yep.
Is that in any way going to affect Great Expectations?
Yes. All public schools are accountable to the No Child Left Behind law and the different mandates it has and the consequences that are written into the law. We have made AYP each year. It hasn't affected us in that way, but it could, certainly moving forward. The other piece, I think, in getting a waiver from the law, I think gives people time to figure out what we really want to do and what can we do instead. How do you make this work? I would be surprised if you didn't get all 50 states mm-hmm. asking for a waiver from No Child Left Behind, because it has had some really unintended consequences that haven't been good.
Well, and I've heard too that the very MAP tests that you were talking about are a far better measure than what No Child has asked for, in terms of they don't really measure where the kids really are. And as I understand it, what Caselius asked for was a 3-year holdback mm-hmm. in order to get essentially everybody's ducks in a row, so that they're we're measuring apples to apples.
Right. What the current methodology does is measure students at a particular grade against the grade level standards. You either meet, partially meet, or don't meet the standard. But it doesn't say where you are relative to the standard. Did you not meet it by a couple points? Did you not meet it by 20 points? You know, did you exceed it by a little or a lot? So it doesn't really tell you where individual students are. And also from year to year, it measures this third grade year against the third grade standards. Next year, you measure the next third grade class against the third grade standards. It doesn't say if these third graders made progress to fourth grade, to fifth grade, to sixth grade. So looking at a growth model as opposed to an achievement model allows you to essentially measure the development of individual classes of students, and MAP does it on an individual student basis, but in terms of state and summarizing and meeting goals, looking at individual classes as they progress through the curriculum to say, are we meeting the needs of those students? Are they achieving over time?
I would think that, you know, if you're keeping track of the third grade as it moves, that group of kids move up through the grades, you're in a better position of possibly anticipating what some of their needs might be, if you need to add or not add curriculum.
Absolutely. It's exactly the reason behind using those kinds of tests, so that you can see what particular areas student needs and when certain interventions are appropriate. And to me, it's a much better model, and I'm glad to see us moving toward that.
Thank you, Peter James.
No trouble. Thank you so much.